Welcome into the J&J Sportscast, episode 1. I'm your host, Jackson White, joined alongside Jacob Tartar on this Tuesday, April 13th, in the year 2021. How you doing this morning, Jake?
Good, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. So we have some good topics coming up for this first episode, annual episode of our podcast starting today. We'll mostly be talking about the Indiana Pacers and the Indiana Colts. Indianapolis Colts, I should say. Yeah. So, as of right now, our first topic is going to be about the Pacers. The Pacers are on a 3-game winning streak currently. They play the Clippers tonight. And they're 1.5 games behind the Knicks for the 8th spot. And they're 2 games behind Boston, and as well as 2.5 games behind Miami for 5th. And they're really only 3 games behind Atlanta for the 4th seed in the Eastern Conference. So they're right there. They can grasp it, but they can barely just reach it. And the real question is, should the Pacers attempt to make the playoffs with a roster that it will not be including TJ Warren? Or shall they tank and get a better draft pick for the future?
I think they should try and make the playoffs. Like you said, there's only a couple games behind, like 3 games behind Atlanta for 4th place. And I see Charlotte starting to struggle without LaMelo Ball. So, yeah.
Well, the one thing that I really think is I wish they would tank. I would love to see a star-studded player come in and play for the Pacers as a rookie. But they won't do that. They're not a team that tanks. They're a team that's going to go decent. They're probably going to make the playoffs as an 8 or 7 seed and get swept in the first round. That's just the tough reality that it faces. And ultimately, I think that's what's going to happen. But only time will tell. You never know. This team could get hot. Caris LeVert.
He's been playing great.
Yeah, he had a great game Sunday night at 34 points. So, really great game by the three guys, Brogdon, Sabonis, and LeVert. LeVert had 34. Sabonis had 18, 15 rebounds, and 9 assists. Malcolm Brogdon had 27 points, 9 rebounds, and 10 assists. So, good game about the stars of the team. Miles Turner has been out of late, and that will switch into our next topic of Miles Turner's health. He has been out for the past couple games. So when do you think Miles Turner will be back?
I think he'll be back in the next, at least in the next 2 weeks, maybe.
I think he'll be back in the next 3 games. He is out tonight versus the Clippers, but I do think he will be back eventually on this road trip, and if he's not on this road trip, he will be back starting back at home after these next 3 road games that the Pacers face. So
these next couple games are going to be difficult for him. He's one of our most important players, especially defensively.
Well, the defense without Miles Turner completely changes. Yeah. And that's going to slide into our next topic. Head coach Nate Bjorken, his system, who fits the system better, Miles Turner or Domantas Sabonis? Because there's been times where they've played good together, and there's been times where they've struggled together, and there's been times where Sabonis has played good but without Turner, and Miles has played good without Sabonis. So what do you think this team should go with, and who do you think fits the system better?
The thing is, like, the Pacers, they usually play better without Sabonis because, you know, there's more ball movement, you know, more three-point opportunity. Even though he's a good shooter for his position, I say, like, Miles Turner might be more prone to the Pacers because, you know, defensively.
Yeah,
defense wins championships.
You're true. He's leading the league in blocks and block shots per game. And he's just really that conductor on defense. And you really need him to be there for the Pacers. But Domantas Sabonis gives you a thing on an offensive aspect that no one else really does. He's probably the best playmaker on the team at the power forward position. He's going to give you 14, 13 rebounds a night, and he can give you 20 every single night.
And at least 5 assists.
Yeah, at least 5 assists. I mean, and Miles Turner doesn't do that. Miles Turner is a guy who's going to give you 13 and 7. He'll give you 4 blocks, but he'll only give you 7 rebounds. and that's the problem. So as of right now, I think they're going to stay together.
Yeah,
but I want
them both together because you know they fit each other pretty well. One's great offensively, one's great defensively.
Just imagine if they were one player combined.
That'd be amazing.
Oh, I know. But that's a pipe dream. So it's really up in the air. If they do end up trading one of them, I do think they will get a big package for either or. Miles Turner really upped his value this season, and DeMontis Bonus is a two-time All-Star reigning skills champion. So I like what they both have to offer, and we will see what happens this offseason. I do fully expect a blow-up of sort. I don't know. I'm just feeling it under this current ownership.
I mean, I don't really see it because, you know, the Pacers, they've never been a team that is too good, but they've never been a team that is too bad.
Well, they had a championship window in 13.
Yeah.
They had it about 12 to 13, 14. Paul George got hurt, blew the window. They also had a championship window in the early 2000s with Reggie Miller. In the late 90s with Reggie Miller. Really, the 90s were a championship window, really, with Reggie Miller in his prime, but he can never get past the Bulls. And in the early 2000s, he struggled to get past the Pistons. And obviously, in the 2000 finals, faced the Lakers.
I do think if they beat that Pistons that one year, the Pistons went on to beat the Lakers, the Pacers would have beat the Lakers, too. Because, you know,
I fully expect if the Malice in the Palace never happened, the Pacers would be a one-time NBA champion team. So we don't know, and we never will, because Ron Artest likes to beat up fans.
But and Steven Jackson.
They all do. Jermaine O'Neal, all the boys. They all love beating up fans.
Well, I mean, and Ron Artest, the fans. The fan did throw the cup at him. He was trying to.
Oh, yeah, it was 8-0. Yeah. I mean, if that happened at today's age, that would be wild.
Right. It was wild back then.
But going to the next topic about the Indiana Pacers, current-day Pacers, to say the least, Caris LeVert. He has been an excellent player, and he's really starting to come into his own, having 34 points in his last game, having 28 against the Magic. He's really just started to come into his own, and he's really looking like that piece the Pacers really needed. And I think he's better than Victor Oladipo by far.
Definitely this season.
Not 2017 Oladipo, because that guy was just a beast. That was one of my favorite teams to watch. But Oladipo's injury prone. You can see he's not even playing for Miami.
And he's like 4 or 5 years older than Caris LeVert.
Yeah, LeVert's under contract. He's on a cheaper deal. I'm just really excited to see what this team could do fully healthy. That's why I don't know if they're going to blow it up, because TJ Warren has not played. But I know some heads in the Pacers organization is not happy with how this team is performing, and I think that will lead to at least something happening in the offseason. But hopefully one thing I do pray on, they do not draft a white center.
Unless he's good.
No, they don't need any white centers. I don't want no TJ Leaf Goga. I like Goga, but there's so many other players we could have took. But the Pacers are the ninth seed currently, and we will see what happens in these upcoming games, and then we'll see where they're at next week, and we'll see if our opinions change, or should we just keep our opinions and see where it goes. But that's it for our Pacers part of this show. We're going to switch to the Colts now, the other Indiana team of sports. And the Colts have had an interesting offseason, to say the least. Starting with the helm, the quarterback position, the number one position that every NFL team focuses on first, is Carson Wentz coming from Philadelphia to come to Indy. And really our number one topic of that is going to be, can he get back to an MVP-level candidate with head coach Frank Reich?
I do think he will, but it's going to be like maybe towards the end of this season or beginning of the next season. Because Carson Wentz, he's going to be a lot more difficult to fix than Philip Rivers was, because, you know, mentally he's not there. And, like, who knows, maybe Jacob Eason starts playing great in practice, like Jalen Hurts did.
Well, I think Wentz is going to do really good. I think the Colts are going to go about 13-4 with the new 17-game season. I think that's extra. I think they can go 14-3. This team is extremely talented. Another good draft by hopefully GM Chris Ballard. I do fully expect this team to be in championship mode. They re-signed Marlon Mack, and we'll talk about that core in a minute. So
we re-signed Hilton too.
I mean, they brought back the boys. The only people they did not bring back is Anthony Walker and Justin Houston so far. They are still looking out for Houston, so I do kind of expect him to be back.
I want him to be back.
But Carson Wentz is a talented player. If he can just be what he used to be, just not even fully.
Like 80%, 90%.
The Colts are winners. Because one thing last year that they struggled with was Rivers was immobile. He was literally like sitting on a chair. And the Colts can do that because they have a great offensive line, but they just have so much more potential with Carson Wentz's rollout ability. He throws extremely well on the run, and I think he's confident.
Yeah.
As it's telling, he's been on the McAfee show. He's been posting in Instagram stories about him mowing fields and everything. He's Bobcat. He's the country boy. Him and Buckner saying stuff about stuff on Instagram, him and T.Y. Hilton throwing together. That's what he didn't have in Philly. Philly is one of the worst ran franchises out there. Living in Philly sucks. Playing for that city, their fans are so mean. Our Colts fans were pretty mean too at times. We're not as mean as Philly fans, to say the least. So I do fully expect him to play good. And as you can, Frank Reich is going to make his offense center around Carson Wentz. And it's going to help him. So I'm fully expect Carson Wentz to at least be a top 13, top 10 quarterback next season.
To me, he's similar to like an Andrew Luck type player. He's like the Walmart version of Andrew Luck, but he's still really
good.
But
in 2017, whenever he was almost up there in MVP, Andrew Luck played that season.
Yeah.
If you ask most GMs, they probably would have took Carson Wentz over Andrew Luck. I wouldn't have. I would take Andrew Luck's baby and Andrew Luck right now over Carson Wentz. But I can't do that. So Carson Wentz is a talented player. He has potential to be a top five, top three quarterback in this league, and he was at one time. And I do think he'll get back there eventually. It's gonna be a little rough. I do think preseason will happen. And that's really what happened with Phillip Rivers is he struggled the first four games and really started to kick it in gear. So after the preseason, maybe a couple weeks into the year, Carson Wentz should be rolling with the boys. And let's see what this team can do with the top-led defense in the league. Another big year for Darius Leonard and Julian Blackman and the boys on defense.
And the offensive line and the running game.
Offensive line and the running game. And talking about the running game. We're going to switch topics to that. The Colts have probably the best running back core in the league with Marlon Mack, Jonathan Taylor, and Hyneem Hines and Jonathan Wilkins. So they have four guys who are just studs at their position. Jonathan Taylor is a franchise back. He is the future of the league. I am full-heartedly saying that. I could be wrong, but I think even Derrick Henry said this guy is going to be the best. He's going to not the best, but he's going to be up there. He's built. He's
top
just
three.
A beast. And Marlon Mack, a guy who's ran for 1,000 yards in his career. He's a talented player. He's really good at finding holes. He's not the fastest, not the biggest, but he's just really smart. And I think we will fully see that potential with him and Taylor. I don't know, but I think the Colts can have 2,000-yard rushers. It's not far-fetched.
It's definitely possible.
It's possible. Will it happen? Probably not, but it'll be cool to see. Obviously, Hines is one of the best receiving backs in the league. I would say top three. He is just an elite guy who's going to go get it from the running back position. I do expect him to play a little bit of slot this year because of Marlon Mack being healthy. And Jonathan Wilkins, he's a guy who's going to come in and give you some good yards. He had a couple good games against Detroit. He had 80 yards, I believe. So, yeah, I like their running back core, but I'm really excited to see what this core can do.
The one thing that's guaranteed is Jonathan Taylor should be the starter.
Well, he will be the starter. Yeah, Jonathan Taylor is a guy who should have been a Pro Bowler last year and will be a Pro Bowler this year if he is healthy.
One thing I think they will do is they'll switch between Jonathan Taylor and Marlon Mack, like, running the ball. They'll each at least get, like, 10, 15 carries a game. Jonathan Taylor will get, like, 20. Maybe Marlon Mack will get 10 to 15. And then Nyheim Hines will line up as a slot receiver.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it, really. Jonathan Taylor is going to get way more carries than Mack. But Mack's going to get at least 10 to 12, and he'll give some good yards. And if, let's say, one of them gets hurt, the other one will be ready.
And we have Nyheim Hines and Jordan Wilkins to back them up. Well, one thing at the beginning of the season, I don't see Mack getting too many carries because, you know, he just come off a horrific leg injury. He hasn't played in the year. COVID. This season, they didn't get much training camp. Who knows how much. They'll probably get the normal amount next year. But, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm excited for this season. I wish it would come sooner.
Me too.
So, this Colts offense is really, and defense, has a couple players who could make a jump. And I think, who do you think out of all the players on this team will make the biggest jump next season?
Michael Pittman. You know, it's his second year. He's getting more experience. He's going to get better. And with T.Y. Hilton coming back, it's going to only get like more opportunities for him to get open. And with possible a QB with a strong arm, that's going to help him a lot more.
Yeah. I think Michael Pittman is a candidate. I'm going to go off a ledge and say Campbell.
He's my second one.
Campbell is a guy who hasn't been able to stay healthy. Him and Rivers really had a good connection for a while.
For that one game.
Yeah, he did play good, but then he ended up getting hurt. But Campbell, he never has shown his potential. He's always been hurt. And if he can come back with a guy who's wins, who likes to throw the long bomb, I really think that. So, I think Campbell could be another guy. And I really think that Julian Blackman will take another big step, and I do think he will be a Pro Bowler next season if he stays healthy. And Kenny Moore, another guy who just every year gets better. Yeah. Same with Darius Leonard. I mean, there's a couple guys on this defense that just keep on getting better. And another guy who no one's really going to mention and talk about is Bobby Okereke. There's a reason they did not re-sign Anthony Walker, because Bobby Okereke's here. And I'm ecstatic for him and Darius Leonard's that linebacker core is just studded. And just if they can add another piece in the draft to this defense, maybe another piece on offense, I really am excited. And it's gonna be interesting. Yeah. But Campbell, Okereke, Blackman are my probably top three.
I think for a sleeper, for who could have a big jump next year, could be T.Y. Hilton, even though he's in his early 30s.
Well, a jump from last season. Yeah, yes, I do think T.Y. Hilton will have a better year this year.
He had 800 yards with Rivers, who's not, like, who has a weak arm now. He's playing with Wentz, who's like a way better arm than Rivers.
Yeah, and if Michael Pittman Jr. or Campbell can really just step up their game and give the Colts a number one decorated two receiver, I think that sky's potential for T.Y. Hilton. I do expect him to be over 1,000 if he stays healthy. If he stays healthy, I fully expect T.Y. Hilton to be a 1,000-yard receiver.
Yeah, me too. I mean, he gets hurt a lot, but he never usually misses more than the one game besides the 2 years ago when he missed like 5 or 6. And T.Y. Hilton, this is definitely a huge deal for him. You know, 1 year contract. If he struggles, he's more than likely gone from Indiana. And, like, not many teams will want him, probably. Maybe, like, a team that needs a veteran receiver. But like, if it's a huge year, if he gets close to 1,000 yards or even surpasses it, Colts should re-sign him.
We will see what happens. I do think his career is coming to an end. But if he gets over 1,000, I do think he will play next year or the year after that. So, Going to another offensive position that's kind of a question mark is the tight end. They have Jack Doyle and Mo Alley Cox under contract. So that's really the only two they have. What should the Colts do with that? And I know what I'm going to say is Zach Ertz. I do think he will end up in a Colts uniform before the season starts. But as of right now, he's not. So we have to go with what we have. And Jack Doyle is the starter. I really liked what I saw from Mo Alley Cox started the year last year. But there's a reason he didn't get minutes. I mean, not minutes, but playing time. So, yeah.
Mo Alley Cox did definitely show some potential last year. But I think Jack Doyle will start up being the starter.
Yeah, Jack Doyle's, he's just...
He's a good tight end.
He's a good tight end, but he's just consistent. And he's just basic. He's going to be a guy who's going to give you 50 yards, catch a couple touchdowns, maybe one, block. They're just like... It's just the Jack Doyle. Like, you could say a couple players are just the Jack Doyle, just basic. They're not going to do too much, and they're not going to do bad. And that's what Jack Doyle is. So
he's, One year he did start, he did do really good.
He's done good a couple of years. He's a two-time Pro Bowler. Even though you look at his stats, and he's never had over 500 yards receiving. That's actually, I think he did.
Yeah. I think that was the year he started because, you know, ever since then.
Well, he started for a while now. It's that year Jacoby only threw to him.
Yeah.
Every play.
And then we got Ebron for, like, that next season.
Yeah, with Andrew. But, yeah, 2018, actually. Yeah. That's whenever, it was 2017. Jacoby would just chuck it to Doyle for 2 yards every play. That was a bad year. And that's why Jacoby said he's not a starter in this league. That's why he's over there in Miami backing up. But, yeah, his tight end position's a real question. But I think Jack Doyle can do it for another year if they have to. Valley Cox, they can draft a guy in the third round. We'll see what they have to do. Maybe Ertz comes to town, play with the boys. We'll see. But this final question for the Colts, and this is really leading into the draft that's happening in a couple weeks, is the Colts have the 21st pick in the draft. What do you think the Colts will do with this pick?
I think the Colts will most likely trade it back, I feel like. That's what they always did besides the year we drafted. We did trade back the year we drafted Big Q. But we didn't trade back. I do think we'll trade back to maybe a second-round pick. It seems what Chris Ballard likes to do.
Well, if you're Chris Ballard and you can get 2 seconds out of that 21st pick, let's say an early second, a late second, you take it.
Yeah.
But if they, I don't know. Obviously, the number one position in need, and I think everyone knows what the Colts are going to draft, is a left tackle.
Definitely.
And this draft is stacked with tackles and guards. So if they feel like their guy will be back in the second round, they will trade back. And they will get assets because this team loves stacking assets. And it's shown, it's proven that they're really good at that. So we'll see. But a left tackle has to be the number one position of need. Another position has to be pass rusher. They have to have a guy alongside DeForest Buckner to get some sacks. And they kind of struggled with that last season. So we will ultimately see, really.
Yeah. I agree.
What they do.
Chris Ballard's not really that good at drafting pass rushers.
But he's never really spent a top pick on it.
Yeah.
I mean, last year his first round pick was DeForest Buckner, and he's an all-pro, technically.
Technically, it was first round pick. Second round picks, he drafted Michael Pittman and Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor is more than likely going to be a top five running back.
And if he was a quarterback, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the draft has lots of potential of last year, and I think this year is going to be a good draft for the Colts. They have an excellent draft, guys. I mean, their scouts are amazing. So they've been the best drafting team in the last 5 years. I don't care what you say, who you are, they have been. No team has drafted this many good players. Obviously, the Colts haven't drafted a good quarterback, but no other team has their franchise quarterback retire week 3 of the preseason and have to kind of go in scramble mode because you have a really good team. You're not good enough to suck. But
not good enough to win a championship.
but you're not going to have to win a championship because you have to have an elite QB to win.
Yeah. And, like, in NFL, you need, like, a deep team, too. You can't have, like, be great offensively and great defensively. That's going to struggle. That's going to suck in the Super Bowl. You need to be good everywhere. Offensively, offensive line, receivers, running back. You saw that in the Super Bowl, how important the
Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl. You saw how important the offensive line was and how important the defensive was.
Yeah, the number one position, you have to have a good offensive line. Yeah. And the Bengals are going to figure this out. So, the Colts got an offensive line. They just got to get the pieces around it, man. They need another guy who's going to come in there and just make plays. And I think the sky is the limit. And in all reality, I've heard a couple people say this in the league is the Chiefs are scared of one team. And that's the Colts. Colts have been the only team to beat them. Yeah. Except the Raiders. And the Raiders are the Raiders. They're not going to do nothing. So.
We have Mahomes to his lowest scoring output of his career.
Yeah, I think he had six.
What?
I think he had 6 points or something.
We had 13 points.
Oh, yeah, 13.
We beat them by six.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago. Jacoby Brissett was a quarterback, and we started 5-2, and then lost nine. We lost seven, and I lost the next nine.
He did start off pretty good that year, but I think the injury derailed his confidence in his play.
Yeah, he got hurt, but it's over with now. We have Carson Wentz,
who is better than Jacoby Brissett,
very much.
Yeah,
but with the Colts draft quarterback, I wouldn't rule it out, but I don't see it happening in the first three rounds. So
yeah, I don't see it happening either. They got Carson Wentz. If you Jacob Eason, yeah.
And Rodrigo Blankenship, who's probably the strongest guy in the NFL.
Definitely.
But that's really it, all we got for the first ever J&J Sports Cast. Just talking about a couple Colts teams. Colts.
Indiana teams.
Indiana teams, really. So, that's all we got for today. We will be making these always on Tuesdays. So. Tuesdays is podcast days. This is episode one. Episode two will be out, hopefully.
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
We got a draft in 2.5 weeks.
We will be doing a mock draft as well. So we're just kind of introducing everything, talking about Pacers and Colts. And as the weeks go on, we will be talking more about all the leagues, all sports, a little bit of racing in there. I'll spare call it in. We got some good stuff coming on the J&J Sports Cast. As for your host, Jackson White and Jacob Tarter, thank you for listening to this podcast.
Peace.
And make sure to tune in next Tuesday on our next one. Thank you.